Well, we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. And we continue to praise Him and look unto Him for His guidance, His help over our lives. Yeah, and we carry on with the book of Philippians, and today we will be in Philippians chapter 4. Yesterday we were able to focus on how we are citizens of heaven and how the scriptures was telling us that we will keep awaiting that glorious body. You know, as we eagerly await for the Savior, our Lord, for our citizenship is in heaven. And that is to distinguish us from those who, you know, preach for the sake of themselves, for whom their stomach is their God and their glory is in their shame, you know, and those who have set their mind on earthly things. So as believers, there is a call to set your mind on heavenly things. When you're an heavenly citizen, you set your mind. That means it is a choice that you do, that you're not going to focus on the things that are temporal, the things that are on the earth, the things that bring our destruction, the things that where we are discouraged or where we are defeated, but we set our minds on what Christ has done. That's why Colossians 3 speaks about set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated above, you know, above all things. When you focus on Christ, then you will not worry about things on the earth, and that, you know, sets a foundation for now what he will speak to us, Philippians chapter 4, about rejoicing, about things that we think about. And let's have a read. Philippians 4 verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." You know, just one of the things that you have to focus on is that Paul always had this understanding that, you know, that we are going to get rewards. And when he says that we will stand before God's judgment seat, each will receive our reward that we have gotten from the Lord. And he's clear that, you know, that you are his crown. You know, when he shall be crowned, and those that you have won to the Lord, the Bible tells us those that win many, you know, turn them away from sin, win many for the Lord, you know, will shine forth as stars in the firmament. So there is that shining forth, there is that rejoicing, there is that crown that we shall receive based on our labors. You know, getting to heaven is the labor of Christ, is what the finished works of Christ, but the place for rewards, because God is not unjust. You know, the Bible says he's coming with the reward in his hand to give each man according to what his deeds deserve. So there will be a crowning. And you can see Paul is very clear that, thank you, the Philippian church, because you are my crown, my joy and my crown. And he tells them, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Just knowing that, reminding again that even though we labor, remember when Paul said, it was not I that labored, but the grace that was at work in me, that even though the grace of God was at work in me, I labored all the more. So grace works hand in hand with our labor for the gospel. There are things, we don't labor to be saved, but we labor because we are saved. There are things that he says that we strive on, you know, pressing towards the mark of the high calling. This is a man who is not pressing on from the place of his own effort, but this is a man who is pressing on from the place where he has been empowered and given grace to do it. You know, when you get to a point where you are tired, when you feel like, you know, this Christianity has become a routine, or you feel like there is nothing new, like you just need, you know, you need to be pushed to go ahead. That is the point where your prayer must be, Lord, give me the grace. Lord, give me the grace. Why? Because the grace is divine empowerment from God. You know, grace is like a booster. It's the grace of God that enables us. That's why he says, by the grace of God, I labored all the more. So we must always know that our labor in the Lord is not our human effort. It does not come from ourselves. But it comes from that point where we are aware that it is God who wills us, who works in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So there is a willingness, and that is why we spoke about a willing heart, where you ask God to give you a willing heart, a heart that desires him, a hunger for his presence, and a heart that is also willing to obey. Because yes, you can have encounters, but unless you stay willing and unless you stay hungry, then you can easily forget those encounters and find that you are sleeping behind. So verse 2, the Bible says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, and with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So you can see Paul has been informed that, you know, that there are two women who were in disagreement, and these are members of the church, they were leaders, and he's like, please, I employ with them Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. That means that it can happen, and it happens many times that you find, you know, two people who are not talking to one another. And I was reading, you know, an account of one of the pastors who had two women in his church. One could not speak in tongues, no matter how many times he prayed for her. And the other who was, I think, was it sick or either sick or barren? And they kept praying and praying and praying, and nothing was taking place until God revealed to him that they have an issue. And how did it happen? When the two of them, one came, they were happy speaking to the pastor, then the other appeared, then the mood changed, and then immediately he just told them, you better forgive one another, otherwise, you know, you're going to miss out on your blessing. So there's always that conflict that hinders the blessings of God from flowing. It's just like the same way when the Bible speaks of husband and wife, where it says that if you do not treat your wife as a weaker partner with respect, you know, treat them with respect so that nothing will hinder your prayers. There is always a blessing that is commanded from the place of unity. The Bible says where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing. Where we are of one mind, of agreement, you know, when we desire that, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity, there is a blessing in agreement. And we must always go out of our own way as much as possible to agree with our brethren such that we can be on the same page. Why? Because it is for the sake of Christ. And he urges them, the true companion, to help these women who have labored with me in the gospel and with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Yes, beloved, we are, when you've given your life to Christ, your names are written in the book of life. And these are some of the places where we see where even Jesus himself said that I will never blot out your name from the book of life. There is a book of life. The final day of judgment, the Bible says that, and books were open and books were read. This maybe were books of different things, what you've done, achievements, you know, all these things that you've done, remembrance. But then he said there was one book open, the book of life. And everyone's name who was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So there is a book of life. And that is the most important book that determines where you go. And how do you get access to that book? By believing and confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord. Believe him as Lord, then the Bible tells us that your names shall be written in the Lamb's book of life. That will determine your access, yes or no. But then we need to stay there. We need to live in harmony. We need to help those who are, you know, in fights. I mean, if there's someone with a conflict, approach them first privately. Try to sort out the issue. If the person does not agree, go and get two other brethren. Go and speak to them. If they don't agree, then bring them before the church. If the person does not agree before the church, then have nothing to do with such a person, because at the end of the day, treat them like an unbeliever. Then verse 4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You know, Paul, it's amazing how he is the one who is in prison. He is the one who is tied up, who cannot move around, and yet he is the one who is full of joy. And we keep seeing how he is encouraging the church. Keep rejoicing. Stay in the place of rejoicing. Because this does not come from a present situation. This is not the emotion of happiness, but this is the joy in the Holy Ghost. There is a certain joy that keeps you alive, that keeps your heart at peace, that gives you an inner satisfaction, knowing that this joy does not come based on my outward circumstances, but it comes from the inward man that is rejoicing despite the external difficulties. How can we have calm in the midst of a storm? How can we be rejoicing in the midst of persecution, in the midst of pain? And that's why he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. That means the place of rejoicing is in the Lord. When you remember what he has done for you on the cross, when you think of how much access that God has given you to the Father, that he has made you one with his Spirit, he has joined you to him, he has made you an heir of all things, he has made you a joint heir with Christ, that God showed his love for us, that even while we were yet sinners, he sent his Son to die for us on the cross. Oh, what manner of love. When you start to reflect on the doings of God, that the devil is under our feet. He was defeated by the cross of Jesus. Jesus made a public spectacle of him. You know, when you think about that, every legality that was raised against you, written against you, he made a public spectacle of it. He nailed it to the cross. He triumphed over it. Then all that it can do is to bring you rejoicing. When you think that he that was made poor, he that was rich became poor, that for your own sake, that we might be made rich, then you start to rejoice. Why? Because you are not alone. The creator of the universe is with you. The creator who has done all things is your shield and your portion. He is your defender. He has seen you from when you are a child. He will see you to the end. He has made a way in your life. You have a reason to thank him. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, there are things we are told to do always, pray continuously. Now we are also being told, rejoice in the Lord always. So we are praying always, we are rejoicing in the Lord always. You know, we are always singing melody in our hearts and giving thanks to God, thanksgiving. These are the things that we need to do. And it said, and again, I will say, rejoice. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. That means know that Jesus is coming soon. And if since Jesus is coming soon, why should you be harsh at people? Let your gentleness, remember your gentleness does not mean that you are weak. It just means that there is a certain humility that God has given you that you want to win the lost. You know, at times people, they mistake humility for weakness. Jesus was humble, but he was not weak. And that's what he even told Pilate. He told him, my kingdom is not of this world. If I were to ask my Father, he could send thousands of angels, you know, countless of angels at this time, and they would rescue me. If the subjects of my kingdom would come and defend me, but my kingdom is not of this world. But he tells him that, for now I lay myself, I lay down my life, because this is the way it must go. So he was humble, yes, but it does not mean that he was weak. Humility does not mean weakness, but it means strength. It means controlled strength. So we are told that we need to be gentle. Let your gentleness be known to all, because the Lord is at hand. We make ourselves all things to all men that we might win some. The reason that we are gentle is so that we win some, so that we don't bring an offense to the gospel. It does not mean we will not correct you. When you're going wrong, we will tell you, you're going wrong. But you see also, people are won by love. There is a love that brings people. There are things that you see and you know you should call out, but you can know that at this point, this person needs love, because it is love that will win them over. May God give us wisdom to know how and when to distinguish this. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You know, one of the biggest challenges of life is anxiety and worry. And this is something that Jesus deals with. He says, why worry about what to eat, what to drink, about what to wear? Don't the Gentiles worry about these things? Who, by worrying, can add a single centimeter or a single cubit to their life, to their stature? No one can do this. But you see, what is worry? Worry is faith in the negative. When you're meditating on anything that is not of God, then you are giving it its power. Remember, the power is in the meditation. It is in the mind. It is in what we focus on. What you think on, what you meditate on, it becomes magnified. The Bible tells us, as a man thinketh, so is he. Thinketh in his heart. The place of our thoughts is a seat where our hearts determine the course of our direction. You know, if you're always thinking in the negative, the reality is you are creating that. Our minds are places of creation. It's the places where we determine our future. The reason why a mad man is mad is because his mind is not in order. But you see, we are being told, be anxious for nothing. Let nothing move you. Yes, it may look like time has gone, the year has come to an end, there has been no change. It might look like it is impossible. Oh, it has been 10 years, no answer. Oh, it has been this period, there is no change to circumstances. But you see, if you learn to rest, and anxiety really puts you in a place where you're not rested, you're under unrest. But the day you learn and the day you understand that you are a child of the Most High God, you are a son of God. And that means your Father knows what you need. The Bible says that even do not worry about what to say, because even a word is on your lips. Your Father knows that you need it. He knows that you need it. He knows that He is in charge. And it is for you to know it and to rest. The place and the day that you enter into rest is your greatest place of faith. Where you enter into rest, where you will no longer worry about resources. You'll no longer worry about jobs. You'll no longer worry about tomorrow. Why? Because it is possible to not worry, and we are commanded not to worry. Why? Because our Father is in charge. I don't think the children of the president or the children of whether it's Bill Gates or the richest man in the world worry about food. You know, they don't worry about clothes. They don't worry about a house. Why? Because those things are provided for. They are provided for. They are things that are at the level of a Father to provide. And if you learn to rest and to commit everything in His hands, then you shall be at peace. You see, the challenge of worrying is like you've made a prayer, you've taken your burdens to God, and instead of leaving them with God, you go back and carry them on your head. Now that is what is worry. You've prayed, you've brought it to the feet of Jesus, and you expect God to act on it, but then you still go back and carry it and say, I really don't believe that God will be able to do it. That is worry. Worry is a sign of lack of faith. You know, it basically means that you don't really believe that God is able. So let us know that when we are anxious for nothing, but in everything, there is a place where you take everything to God in prayer. And supplication, prayer and supplication. Supplication is where you're continually making the requests. You're thanksgiving. It's like an appeal. And you know, how do you make an appeal to God? With thanksgiving. That's why you say, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Father, I thank you that you're making a way for me. Father, I thank you that you're healing me. I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. I thank you that my family patterns are changed. I thank you that my child is made well. I thank you that my marriage is healing. You keep saying, you keep thanking God. I mean, if you look at the prayers of Jesus, the listed prayers of Jesus were always thanksgiving. Father, I thank you that you have always heard me. And that you always hear me. I thank you. I'm not just saying this for myself, but I'm saying this for them, that they might know that you send me. You know, when he's given the bread to multiply, he just lifts up his hands and gives thanks to God. And then he blesses the bread and breaks it. And as they break it, the miracle happens in their hands. It begins to multiply and to feed the 5,000. men plus women and children more. So there is a place of thanksgiving. When you're thankful, when you just say, thank you, Jesus, even when it's painful, say, thank you, Jesus. Thanksgiving opens our hearts. It's like giving of thanks. The gift of a man makes room for him and ushers him into the presence of the great. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. It says the password to enter the kingdom of God, the courts of heaven, is thanksgiving. You go to prayer and your heart must always be thankful. Not only just the words, but the state of your heart. And the Bible tells us, let your requests be known to God. It's always good to say. Say what you need unashamedly. You know, that's why Jesus gives the parable of the friend who goes at midnight. And he says, even though the man will not wake up for him because he is his friend, but because of his importunity. Yeah, the different version says, because of his shameless audacity, he will wake up and give him as much bread as he needs. Present your request to God. And it's good to be specific. You know, at times you just say, oh, God, just bless me. Ask God, what is it that blessing you want? Ask. The Bible says, up to now you have not asked me anything in my name, but ask and your joy shall be complete. And he says beyond that, and the peace of God, there is a peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God is our shield, is our defender. When you have prayed, when you have committed it to the Lord, when you've stopped worrying, you know, when you're not anxious for anything, and you just keep thanking God, keep telling God, letting God know your requests, you know, with prayer, with supplication, what God does is that he furnishes your heart with peace of mind. And that peace will surpass human understanding. Now, the beauty of God is that he tells you what not to do, but then he also now tells you what to do. Then he says, now after you've taken away all those thoughts, negative thoughts from your mind, then you need to now meditate on things that are true. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, this do, and the God of peace will be with you. I'll not dwell much on this. Maybe we'll look at this again, on the aspect of meditation. But we're being told that we can replace all those anxiety thoughts by thinking about what God has done, or thinking about things that are pure, things that are true, things that are noble. And the Bible says, then you will encounter the God of peace. Indeed, he is a God of peace. He gives the peace of God which surpasses human understanding. And let your hearts be at rest. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your evidence, let the peace of mind, let the peace of God be evident in your heart. Do not live in worry. Worry cannot do much to you. But when you dwell and rest in God, then you shall experience his blessings in your life. I'll stop there, and I pray that God will give us more insight into this. You're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Emmanuel. Normal petition from my side. Just continue praying for God, for the grace, for God to give us the grace to find rest in him, and also continue being trustful and faithful. Amen. And this is it, meditating on the good things that he has done.
Amen. 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 Rest. Any additions, Brenda?
Praise God. Yeah. Yeah, we thank God for this morning and for his word. I was just here reflecting about the grace that once the grace is sufficient, everything is possible. We are enabled, and it comes with a lot of things. It comes with increased knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. It comes with favor. It comes with everything. So we'll continue once the pray for the grace, and we will walk in the grace that is sufficient. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are available. You are faithful. You tell us to rejoice in the Lord. And indeed, our sufficiency, our place of confidence comes from resting in you. And I thank you for everyone that has purposed to know you, to understand you, to walk in your truth, to walk in your love, to walk in your guidance, to be directed by you, to be led by you, to focus on you. And as you tell us, to meditate on the right things, oh God. Thank you that you are the one that helps us, even when our strengths are failing, even when we have looked behind, we are falling apart. But Lord, you are there with us. I pray that may our hearts focus on you. May we rest in you. May we not be anxious for nothing, but may we put our eyes on you and know that you are on the throne. You have already accomplished the victory for us, and indeed victory belongs to you. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I thank you for your children. I pray for divine protection, divine favor, open doors, remembrance, O God, where things have stuck, that Lord, you open them, O God. Work out a miracle that no man can stop, that nothing can be done that can stand in the way of those that you have called. We thank you for the church. Thank you for its growth. Thank you for the members. Thank you for everyone that is a part, that is a participator, O God, that in all these things you make us more than conquerors. We honor you, we exalt you, and we lift up your holy name. May your name be exalted and be magnified. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom and blessed, blessed day ahead.